Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, and one now, the pitch. Swinging a grounder left side on through. Base hit left field. Bogart's around third. He's coming home. Ewing's throw to the plate. Head first slide. He's out. He's out. That is the third outfield assist registered by the Mets in the first two innings.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
This ball is absolutely incinerated. Ohtani's second of the game and 29th of the season.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, the Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning. I'm Dirt. He's Swag. Happy Tuesday, everybody. One more day without Sprager. He will be back tomorrow from his Southern California vacation. I believe his travel home day is today. We got a lot to get to today. How we doing this morning, Swag? We feeling good?
We're good. Are you fogging up in there?
I am fogging up in here, yeah. It's a little chilly. I turned the heat on, and now everything's a little liquidy and wet. Now it's like, now I feel like I'm
I couldn't tell if that was me or you. I was I had the heat on in here.
No, it's just me. It's my sexiness. Once I walk into the studio, the windows just steam up, dude. You want me to go put my hand down the window and drag it across?
That dad bod thing
turn you on
now.
A little bit? What's going on? Yeah, it's, look, we bitch about it a lot. Listeners probably don't care, but it's something
we have to
deal with on a day-to-day basis. The thermostat in this room is horrible. It's never really properly worked. And the difference...
Well, it doesn't maintain a
it doesn't hold
temperature.
I want to set the number and hold the number.
Want it to be a very comfortable 68, 69 degrees.
That's a very key part of a thermostat.
And it either goes
you gotta hold.
To 74
you
or hold. 64.
It's one of the
it
other.
It can't hold a damn temperature.
No. If you could just hold at 67, guess who's happy as a clam the entire show?
We all are.
This guy. But when you turn the heat up, it doesn't stop at 67, to your point. Next thing you know, you turn around and it's 75.
You've set limits and it
now
just
I'm
keeps
sweating.
Going.
Now I'm sticky. Now I'm uncomfortable. It's not good for anybody. Nobody wants me sweating during the show. Look, I sweat very easily as a fat man, but I should not be sweating doing a radio show. That's a bit of a problem. So we bitch about it a lot, and that is a complaint I will have right out of the gate today. Because, yes, my windows
okay.
are fogged up.
I was double-checking if it was me. Or...
No, it's me, buddy. It is me. We turned it up. Now we've turned it down. We'll see
all
if
right.
we can find a solution here.
Other than that, I'm good.
Other than that, we're doing good. Other than the fogged up in here. I do love when everybody, because it's so funny how I am very fortunate. I don't know how you are in your relationship with your wife. Temperatures are a very big thing that I don't think enough people talk about early on in relationship cycles.
Yeah.
Like, how do you like it hot? Do you like it cold? What's your number? Do you like to sleep cold? Do you like to sleep hot? I'm very thankful that my wife and I are in lockstep, even more so now that she's 7 months pregnant. She gets hotter than hell.
Yeah.
So it's got to be chilly in there. There's a fan going. There's an air conditioner going at all times.
There are
and that
times
helps me.
She's more likely to be cold than I am.
Yes.
And her variation... she is very small, like she'll go from cold to hot, like
very quickly,
very slight change in temperature.
Okay, when you guys sleep, are you okay with the temperature in the room? Does she think it's too cold or too hot?
Because
that's mainly when it impacts
get
you.
That right?
Yeah, you got a good
she
set
has
number.
An extra blanket if she gets colder.
There you go. You got to have that. Throw it on. Keep yourself
so, yes.
warm during the night.
But for the most part, it's not.
Not too
every
controversial.
Once in a while. There'll be an issue.
Yeah. It is. You don't even think about it when you start dating somebody, right? And
no.
then you eventually move in together as the relationship
that, and
progresses.
And then there's body clock stuff. Now, some of it is job related.
Yeah, you got to get up when you got to get up for work.
But
everybody's a little bit different. Some people are more night owls. Some people are more
like
morning
people.
Yeah, like
if you have a morning person and a night owl,
right.
You
got two different shifts going here,
exactly.
You know? I'm staying up after you go to bed, and then you're getting up while I'm still in bed, and then we don't see each other for pockets of the day. But maybe that's good for relationship, right? You got to have your solo time there. I got a buddy who married a gal, and they could not be on a wider sliding scale of one of them thinks like 75 degrees is too chilly. Like, oh, that's goodness. her body temperature?
I would be taking you to the doctor to check your circulation. Right.
What's going on here?
Is there a condition? Right. Is there something we got to deal with?
And my buddy thinks 65 degrees is too hot. So it's just like, yeah, they could not be more exactly opposite. And I love every time I hear stories about how they try and sleep and one has a heated blanket on one side, the other one has no blankets on at all. And it's like, this is so complicated. Now, exactly, you got to think about this every night.
Yep.
They try and sell you the idea of the mattress with the two different temperatures on each side, but I kind of find that bogus. I don't know. Maybe the technology's there.
I don't know.
I haven't got a new mattress in a while.
To find that out.
You can turn this mattress side down and this mattress side up.
Well, yeah, what do you got? You got like cold water running through one of them or something?
I'm not buying it. I think you're
misleading. The other one is diet. Your diets, yes, need to match up.
Yeah, especially if one of you in particular does the cooking,
mm-hmm,
then you got to make sure that, like, hey, if I'm doing the cooking,
yeah,
I want to cook stuff that I want to cook.
Yeah.
But it's got to be,
like, there's
compatible.
No way in hell if I had to, you know, go back out there again, which there are no plans to do.
Right. You're locked down. You're committed. Verbal commitment.
No. If the first hint of vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian.
You're out immediately, huh?
No.
Yeah, you couldn't
just
do it.
Stop.
Because of your love of cooking. Do you think you could find recipes, though, that you would like if you had to go somewhat that route or not at all?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, people have tried to tell me, oh, try this. No.
Try this.
Uh-uh.
Try this fake meat.
I have a Traeger.
It's impossible meat, man.
What do you want?
Throw some. Can you cook tofu on a Traeger? Is that possible? Can you slow cook it?
Why would one want to try?
225, low temp, man.
Exactly.
Get that smoke flavor in there.
Smoked tofu.
You've never had smoked tofu over there, all right? Come on. Don't
stop
be,
it.
Don't be judgmental, swag. I tend to agree with you. That would be a pretty big deal breaker. What's the thing that your wife, is it pork? Is that the biggest one,
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, she does not.
She's not a pork person?
Which, you know, but I still cook it then for me.
Yeah, you still
know,
cook. You go on your side
around,
quest.
Like, there's pork tenderloins in the fridge right now, so... You know, but I'll have it.
I love
for
you.
Lunch.
You have to go buy your own personal stash of pork just to keep yourself satisfied.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Or if I want to make sure that there's something that's there for me,
yeah,
or a dish I don't want to share,
right?
Throw some bacon bits on it or something. Ooh, like that.
Yeah, just to add a little bit on top.
Put a slice of ham in there, whatever.
I have decided, now that we bring up pork, I love talking about pork and I love pork. I think I'm going to do burnt ends this weekend.
Nice.
I think I'm just trying to get, you know, before football season starts, I'm racking my brain about. Weekends are about to be tied up, right? Because I work duck stuff, and so Saturdays are, you know,
yeah,
out of the window, out of question. Shortly after that, right, then it's baby time, and who knows how that's going to go and how, you know.
Exactly.
Right? It's going to be a little bit of a chaotic football season,
yeah,
for me. So Dirt's trying to enjoy the, as I go third person, the last couple of, you know, weekends of the summer before football.
There you go.
I got two more weekends to go before that first,
yep,
duck pregame show will be against Oklahoma or, no, Boise State.
Boise State.
In a little over 2 weeks, so our Saturdays are gone. So I think that's one of my to-do lists this weekend.
There
you go. I've not made burnt ends in about 2 years. The last time I did them, they were okay, not great, and I'm eager for a new challenge. And so that's on my to-do list
burnt
this
ends,
weekend.
Burnt ends, I've got a pretty good recipe on the Traeger.
You like that, your go-to recipe for burnt ends?
Yeah, it kind of combines... you know, some barbecue sauce with, I think it was beef stock or something. So you get a more,
ooh,
beefy thing. It's not super sweet.
Okay. I like that.
That sort of thing.
Send it my way. I'm intrigued. That sounds entertaining. That's
and
on
then
my
the
list.
Trick is to get the cap piece or the end piece of the brisket.
Yes.
If you go to the butcher shop,
yes,
and you get just that little end fatty piece.
God, so good. So good.
As opposed to the middle of
it.
Yeah,
you don't want the middle. You want fat on your
meat.
You're
doing burnt ends.
Yeah, you need
the fat. You got to get the end.
You got to get the fat. You got to get the end. Yeah, come on now. I don't want the non-fat piece of the pork. Get out of
here. Well, the brisket. No, that's fantastic.
It's fine for other reasons.
Yeah.
Not for burnt ends, though.
But if you just want the little meat candy at the end.
Meat candy, man. Who doesn't love meat candy?
Right,
we do have a lot to get to on the show today. I will ask this question. These continue to go viral. Let's grade this one.
Oh, no.
So the last one that we had was a guy playing a round of golf without a golf ball and having to play 18 holes without saying anything.
Yeah.
This is fantasy football punishment season.
So we're paying off
season.
All our fantasy football for, yeah.
Yeah, it's that time of year, right? I'm sure everybody's getting ready to do your fantasy football drafts.
Yeah,
I'm not a fantasy football guy. Are you still doing fantasy football?
Well, I have the one league with all my buddies.
That you've done forever.
And so.
What's the buy-in? Is it a big pot?
It's $50.
Okay, so that's not bad.
No,
what, 10, 12 guys? How many guys are we talking?
12. There's 12.
So it's okay,
and it's
but nothing big.
Mostly just to create the group chat and you know, half of them are hardcore Seahawks fans. There's a bunch of them up in Seattle.
Right.
Hardcore Seahawks fans.
So they
fans.
Fight over who can draft the Seahawks, probably.
Exactly.
They want the first pick so they could take Smith and Jigba. So the latest one that I saw, kind of funny, different version of a punishment than I'm used to.
Yes.
This guy's fantasy football, fantasy football?
Fushball. Do we have a new sport?
I just made that up on the fly. I like that.
I want to play some fushball.
Fushball actually sounds like a pretty cool sport. Probably got a soft, like mushy ball that you can throw
around. Might involve some drinking in the middle of it.
Oh, fushball definitely has a lot of boozing. If you're good at football, you're boozing a lot, Darren, while you're playing it.
There you go, Mail Sack. Send us your rules.
What are the rules
for fushball?
How's the scoring system? What kind of ball do you use?
The Fan Fushball League.
Hey, we can
start
that.
Brought to you by Binary, only fan by PA.
I'm going to join Fantasy Fushball League this year. Who's your first overall pick? I don't know. I got to start looking at my charts. This guy's fantasy football punishment, after finishing last in his league, was he had to dress as the Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Okay.
And eat all of the things from the book. Now, do you remember the book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar?
I do. That was gorgeous illustrations.
It's just a beautiful book, right?
Beautiful book.
Fun to flip through and see the little holes in the caterpillar.
I hope there's one in Teddy's growing bookshelf.
Oh, he has, yes. We have read The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Nice. So there were leaves. I know that.
Yes. Yeah, so here we go.
Did he eat a bug at some point or not?
This is what he has to eat, and he had to do it in one sitting. One apple. No big deal. Two pears.
Oh.
No big deal. Three plums. Fine.
Yeah.
A lot of fruit early on.
That's okay.
Four strawberries. I don't think anybody can handle that.
That's where I tap
out. You would tap out at the strawberries. Five oranges. That's a decent amount
of oranges. That's a lot of citrus, but you're not getting scurvy.
No.
Can I squeeze the oranges and just drink orange juice?
I don't think that's allowed. I think you have to eat the oranges. I think you got to peel and eat.
You got to go full youth soccer.
That's the first one that I would do that's like, that's too much orange. I like oranges.
That's a lot.
Oranges are good. They're solid. I have no issues with oranges. Full-size orange, little tangerines, whatever. If you had to eat five big, full oranges in one sitting,
yeah,
that's a lot of orange. That's too much orange for anybody. And then he wraps it up with one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone.
Of course.
One pickle, got to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Eat the pickle. One slice of Swiss cheese. The palate is all over the map now.
Yeah.
One slice of salami.
Beautiful.
One lollipop.
Okay.
All right, you know, throw that in there. That's probably not bad at that time after you've eaten all this. One piece of cherry pie. One sausage. One cupcake. And one slice of watermelon before eating a nice green leaf to wrap up. The Very Hungry Caterpillar. How do we grade this punishment? Do we like it? Fun, creative? And
boy,
could you, other than the strawberries, could you do it?
That's a full picnic for four.
That's a lot of food in one sitting. The guy, it was pretty funny. The video, if you go watch it, he's like, they made him, like, he's in a caterpillar costume.
Yeah.
He's got the little fangs on his head.
You would have to, in order to get me to do it.
Yeah.
You would have to find substitutions for the pickle, the watermelon, and the strawberry. Like, I'm not eating those things.
You don't eat watermelon? You don't like watermelon?
I hate melons.
Really?
All melons.
Any kind of melon?
Cantaloupe, honeydew.
Really?
Gross.
Cantaloupe?
Rank.
You don't like cantaloupe?
No.
What the hell's the matter with you,
Swigart? Like I said, I would love for some nutrition science expert to do some analysis on my taste buds.
You need to see a food psychologist. Yeah. That's weird.
I mean, I tasted all those things and stuff growing up.
When was the last time you had a bite of cantaloupe?
Years, but my dad loved cantaloupe,
so it was there
a lot when I was a kid.
It was always around the house. What was it about cantaloupe that you
didn't
like?
I don't know, there's something about melons. It's the same thing. I want to see if there's something common amongst the things.
Ooh.
Like melons, cucumbers, strawberries.
And no pickles. Really interesting. You don't put pickles on your burger?
No.
No pickles on the burger.
Well, I don't like cucumbers to begin with.
Yeah, no cucumbers in the salad. Man.
So, yeah. So,
is there something new?
Is there something genetically? Is there something?
What is it?
What is it that, like, for like the things that I don't like, I like really don't like?
Yeah, it's
like,
not like
gag, puke.
Right. We talked about this yesterday with mushrooms. Like, I don't like mushrooms.
Mushrooms and olives?
Yeah, I don't like olives.
I didn't Yeah.
But if you fed me an olive, I could eat an olive.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about eating an olive, but I'm not like,
exactly.
I'd never put that in my mouth.
But there are things that like gag reflex kicks in. Broccoli's one of them. Bananas are one of them.
No matter how the broccoli's cooked, or just cold broccoli.
No, any.
Any kind of broccoli.
No.
Does
flavor,
not matter the flavor.
Texture,
just you put a piece of broccoli in your mouth, you're gagging.
I'm spitting it out. I don't care if I'm sitting in a, you know, formal, I'm grabbing the linen napkin and spitting it out. Like, the things,
man,
I don't like are
you really
physical,
don't like,
make me puke.
It's so funny because I feel like if somebody had this category of food taste similar to you,
yeah,
I would then follow up with, well, they must have a very elementary palate, if you will, and they must not be into, like, you're eating a lot of processed foods.
No.
Like, that's where my mind would go, but I know that's not you in any way, shape, or form.
No, uh-uh.
You love to cook, you love to have all sorts of special ingredients.
Now, like, there's some things like
complex
tomato,
yeah.
Like, I love tomato flavor, you cook down tomato sauce, just a big old raw hunk of tomato. That's a texture thing.
Yeah.
That I'm not crazy about.
I'm not super high on the raw tomato.
Like pico de gallo, I avoid. You give me a salsa that's more.
What about in a burrito?
If it's all over the place, I'm going to knock some of it out.
Sure.
If it's one or two chunks, I'm not going to.
You'll be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some things like that where I'm like.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not. I'll work my way through it.
You'll find a way to
I'm not sending it back to the kitchen.
So we need substitutes for the watermelon, the pickle, and the strawberries.
Yeah.
Other than that, could you handle the very hungry caterpillar?
It depends on if I've got all day. We're just sitting there. And
I think you just sit there until you're done.
That's
the punishment.
We're going through it, and I don't have to do it in like some stupid man challenge time
period. I could easily
period.
Handle this.
Then I could get through it all.
Do you guys do a fantasy football punishment? I haven't done fantasy football in years since
we
stopped doing our league.
We don't do a punishment. We're all...
Everybody's too old.
I mean, everybody just lets everybody have it.
Yeah, you make fun of the guy who loses.
Yeah.
I'm curious if anybody out there has a good fantasy football punishment. I've always thought it would be fun to have a way, or try and find a way to incorporate a punishment into the show. Like, if you have a bunch of P1s who are in a league, I don't know what that would be. Make somebody come in and, like, host a segment by themselves and see how bad it's at. Like, you got 20 minutes, go. Like, I don't know what the segment
would be. I think punishment for our listeners.
Well, that'd be fun. I think it'd be entertaining. We'd sit here with them and heckle them a little bit. You know, I would love to be a part of a fantasy football punishment. I just have gotten to the point where the time commitment, and now, by the way, we are now into hearing about fantasy football roster season. We're now to that point where people are having their drafts and telling you about their teams.
Exactly.
And, you know.
We do our draft. We actually are really smart. We do it the night before the opener.
That's how you should do it. You got to wait until the very end.
Until see who's starting quarterbacks, who gets hurt.
Right. The one area of fantasy football that I'm most jealous of is the people who are in leagues, and I got buddies, like our boss is this way. People who have been doing leagues forever, and they do something fun for their draft every year. Like you go somewhere, you rent a house, and everybody in the league gets together and you get, you know. It's essentially a guy's weekend tied into a fantasy football draft. Mm-hmm. Those ones I'm jealous of.
Yeah, our group's so spread out.
It's hard to get everybody together.
It's impossible.
You got kids. It's really difficult
weekend.
To do that,
man.
Like, I mean, just seeing my friends who I live in the same city with is difficult at times, let alone getting a weekend together with everybody. But that's the one area, like, if you could sell me on the idea of fantasy football. The tough part is so many of those leagues have been going on for 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
Like, there's traditions built in.
Yeah.
You've been doing it forever. And it's the same guys from college or guys you work with forever ago, but you hold on to it and you keep doing it. So that I'm jealous of. If you got a good fantasy football punishment, 503-864-6326, I think the very hungry caterpillar, like, if I'm going to rank the two that have gone viral, I would much rather do the very hungry caterpillar than go play 18 holes of golf without a ball.
Yeah.
That would just feel, there'd be a little bit of a chuckle internally, like a slight sense of humor.
Yeah, but that's
weird.
That's weird.
That's
yeah.
Everybody looking at you. I mean, I'd shoot like a 62, though, you know. It'd be kind of nice.
Exactly.
Hey, handicap's going down.
Just like Trump.
Can I post that to my gin app? Is that allowable? I'm out here in my head. I shot a 62. What do you want from me?
Man.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. We do have a lot to get to on the radio program today. It is a Mail Sack Tuesday. So make sure to get your questions in. We love the Mail Sack. It's my favorite day of the week.
Mail Sack. I'm guessing this might be a good one.
Everybody's had
all summer
feeling.
And we're sort of back, and some people are starting to deal with, oh, crap, my kids are going to school.
Yes.
They need clothes and backpacks and things.
You fire away. Anything you want to ask. If you're new to the show, hello, everybody. It's sports, non-sports, whatever you want to ask, we answer it. In the mail second, it is at 9 o'clock this morning, 503-864-6326. That's where you can send your questions. You can throw them on the YouTube chat, tweet them to us, and we'll get to as many of them as we can. Coming up at 9 o'clock in the morning, we have to dance on somebody's grave today. We will dance on a grave. That will take place. Some grave dancing.
Okay.
I have some lingering thoughts. You know, the AP poll comes out when we're live on the air, so you can.
Yeah, we're just kind of reacting and first
flying
thoughts,
by the seat of your pants.
Now we had to digest it.
Yeah, and so after a day of, you know, ingesting it and going through your system, I have my day after thoughts on the AP poll. Some notable things, some things that haven't happened in a long time, a certain number for Oregon that they've never accomplished. So we'll get to some lingering thoughts on the AP poll. There's a lot going on in the National Football League that we will talk about today. So it is a loaded Tuesday. We got a lot to get to. Let's open with the lingering controversy in this sport. Is my producer concerned about what it means for his fandom? We'll tie that all together. And everybody's refuting every report. Nothing's true about the NBA, and everything's true simultaneously. We will start there on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
2 inches is a lot, buddy. Welcome back in, 627. Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Got some good mail sack questions coming in.
Mail sack.
Keep them coming. We'll get to them coming up 9 o'clock this morning, 503-864-6326. We'll get to a couple of newsy bits out of the NBA here in a moment, but we had a few fantasy football things texted in. I enjoyed this one. Two different punishments from different leagues. Somebody said their league punishment is you have to go to a small sports bar and be the loud clapping guy. That's the kind of punishment that I could get behind.
I can do that.
It's uncomfortable. I'm never that guy. I'm not even really that guy necessarily at live sporting events. I'm more in my own little world. I don't get to, you know, I'm not trying to shout and distract people around me.
If you give me, like, you could do that, like, Sprague could do it if all of a sudden there was a Nottingham Forest game on.
Yeah, depends on how early
it is.
Just
in the corner, can you put that up on here for
me?
See,
my contention,
totally into it.
Yeah, my contention on that, great, totally valid, would be I wanted it a more, I guess it depends on what time the game starts. Is it a football bar that opens at 6 o'clock in the morning and nobody's in there? I want you in the bar in the heat of the day. I need you in there when it is most crowded in order to make the punishment feel the most realistic. I wouldn't want to be that guy, but I could do that. That's funny.
I would say if it's lightly attended, you'll stick out more.
I mean, you for sure will. There's four people in there.
If the bar's packed and everything's going,
you're yelling at the TV. You just got Jason Garrett going all day. I mean, that's pretty solid. I like that. That's harmless. It's fun.
Exactly.
I'm all about that. And the punishment, too, by the way.
Like, your NFL team's playing the London game. You get in there at 6:30
in the morning. Yeah.
And people are starting to roll in at like 8:39 to get ready for the 10 a.m. kick.
Just having their breakfast. Like, and what the hell's
the matter
with this
guy? How many Bloody Marys does that guy have?
This guy's a problem over here, dude. Cut him off, man. What is going on over there?
That's your booty.
So that one I like. That's pretty solid. And the punishment being like, hey, I got to go hang out at a bar. Okay, fine. All right. Sure. Sounds like a good little day.
Is the league picking up the tab or I got my own
tab? I imagine you
got
to pay your own tab.
Probably.
I could have fun on a weekend at a bar being the loud clap guy. I like that. P1 Corndog says our league is called Don't Be Last because if you're last place, you have to wear a dress and hold a sign that says, I suck at fantasy football at the corner of the Safeway in St. Helens. But this year we're going to rent a spot in the local parade and you have to walk in the parade wearing the dress.
Okay, that's better.
You like that one?
That's
better. That's pretty good.
Standing on the corner, it's like, okay, that's a little cliche, but
if
you have to get a spot in the big town parade,
the St. Helens parade coming through town, I would much rather, if I'm in that fantasy football league, I would much rather do the parade than stand on the corner.
Yeah.
Standing on the corner in front of a Safeway.
Standing on the corner, you're going to get stuff thrown at you.
Everybody's going to want to
parade. Everybody's out there to have a good time.
Yeah, you're
and
just
then they're
mixed
like,
in.
What's
Right.
They'll be laughing.
There's a middle school band. There's
exactly.
There's like a dancing clown.
There's one rule about parades.
And you're in the
Have
middle of it.
Have you ever been in like a big parade?
It's been a long time. But when I was in middle school doing marching band, we did like whatever, the Junior Starlight or whatever. One of the two of those. I also was a pooper scooper many moons ago.
That's the trick. That was the first thing. Because I marched in the Grand Floral Parade or the whatever they called it.
You got to watch out for the poops, man.
You don't want to be behind an equestrian group.
No, if you were behind the horse.
Put us behind a float. Wanted to be behind a float.
Yeah.
That was the best.
I don't remember how that got set up. I think it was a neighbor of mine that somehow was involved with the parade planning or something. And so we dressed them. I'm going to make a joke for myself here. We dress, I believe, as the seven dwarves. There was like seven kids in our neighborhood. I can't remember if I was dopey or sleepy, but probably one of the two. we walked around and scooped the poop in the parade behind the equestrian unit. That was our job.
No, we got
for
invited
parade.
Back. We were, our band was asked a couple of times to, because it's televised, so, and we, you would march, you would start going through Memorial Coliseum, so people would actually sit there.
Yeah.
So we were asked a couple of times to stop in there and play songs while the commercial break was going on before they restarted it.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
Because we approached it. Our band director was like, let's have some fun. Let's not be sloppy with the marching, but we're not going to play like John Philip Sousa marches. We're,
Hey, let's have some fun with the music.
No, we're playing.
Play things that the kids don't want to play.
We're playing pep band stuff.
Right.
We're having some good times.
Yeah, that's those are pretty solid fantasy football punishments.
Yeah.
We've had that on the show. Like, we used to do our Oregon State bet that we stopped doing because, you know, for obvious reasons. We ran out of ideas. And also, it's just like having a 39.5 point spread on the game and Sprague wins the bet because Oregon State loses by 38, just that was dumb. And it's like, we killed you, but I'm somehow dressed up as a cheerleader. I don't know how this happened. Now, the year that Oregon State came back, for was it 17 points down or whatever?
Yeah,
and they came
back.
Is
that when they ran it 19 straight
19
times?
Yeah. Like, that was, you know, those kind of years, I'm all for the punishment, and that makes sense. But now it just, it doesn't
make
as much.
We'll wait. We'll let that breathe. We'll see if
I don't think we're ever going to bring that
Coach
one back.
Coach Shepard can,
I highly
program
doubt
back.
I think Coach Shepard is going to do a good job. I don't think that will be a competitive game for many years to come.
Well, we'll see. Next year, now he's got BYU and Ole Miss on the schedule next year.
He does. Shout out to OSU for moving to week zero, by the way. I did not see that announcement until your sports update this morning. That's all. I actually have a rant on that at some point today to connect to a larger problem
in
the
Provo.
Sport.
Have fun in Provo.
On a Sunday? Is it a Sunday?
Saturday.
It's a Saturday. Okay. Oh, that's touche, yeah. But there are some teams who play on the week zero on Sunday, or is that not till week one usually? Because I know we
that's Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend, okay.
Because there's no NFL.
We got like a Notre Dame-Wisconsin game, I think, this year at Lambeau Field, if that does anything for you.
I think we get Louisville-Ole Miss.
Oh, okay. That's kind of a fun little game to kick off the season.
Yeah. There's some,
that's solid.
No, like there's only 10 games that match Power 4 teams on the first week. But like most of them are either Saturday night.
Yeah.
And one of them's Cal-UCLA. And then Sunday, and I think there's one game
on Monday. Yeah, there's always one
it's
left
like
over on
those
Monday, and that's it.
On Sunday, there's two or three, and there's one on,
This one came, we used to do public shaming, but now my fantasy league is made up of all professionals, so the losers have to do an eating challenge. Last year was six hellacious hot wings. The year before, we forced the loser to eat at a truck stop egg salad sandwich. Oh. Even worse, we made him wait until 7 p.m. so the sandwich was at least 12 hours old.
That's just wrong.
I
don't want to make anybody sick.
No, but we've all had food poisoning, all right? You know, it just happens sometimes, okay? Well, thanks for the fantasy football punishments. Those are fun to talk about. It is that time of year. Let's get into having a brief moment where I have quite enjoyed. It feels like the microscope is off of us.
Yes.
And it is on other people being stupid and
doing
bad things. For a brief moment, we have faded to the background in Portland, Oregon, USA,
exactly.
As Kevin Calabro would tell you.
That's great.
And nobody's bitching about Tom Dunnan and his cheapness. And
no,
you know.
They've now started their work sessions.
Yes, we're working.
I'm glad to hear it.
We're sitting down.
Two times a week. On the books, scheduled.
Yeah, let's
go get to work and hammer this crap out.
Figure
and
it out.
Hopefully most of it's behind closed doors. Because I think we've all agreed now, okay, we saw enough.
Yeah.
You need to do all your
enough of this nonsense
and stuff in a closed room. We don't need cameras.
Get Daddy Tom
like,
in there.
Like I said last week, the less you hear,
it's better
and if it's all canned stuff and cliches and you're not getting anything, it means they're getting stuff done.
Yes, and that's a really good sign. So, hey, we're not the focal point of the NBA national media right
Thank
now.
Thank you.
You know why?
Because, and it was Ballmer for a moment, and then Jeannie Buss said, hold my spritzer.
And they're saying hold my spritzer on both of these. So we talked about it on the show yesterday. It broke in the very back end of the show. ESPN had the report. I think Shams Charania had it, that they had found no proof that Ballmer did anything illicit in funneling money to Kawhi Leonard.
That means directly. Like,
yes.
There was nothing they could
find from
Ballmer or directives or emails, because Ballmer's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he knows what the rules are.
Well, and on top of that, this is where it gets funny, is that an hour later, I can't remember exactly how long, the NBA came out and just tried to totally refute that report.
Well, they said, well, there's more to the story than that. So now they're trying to see if...
Nobody believes you, NBA.
How he...
Nobody believes you.
What was done there in introducing Kawhi to these other companies...
Yeah.
And...
They're positioning themselves to try and pivot out of this because Adam Silver is a coward.
They're going to something, and I don't know...
He doesn't want a controversy on his hands. You're not going to nullify the trade of Kawhi Leonard in Toronto, and you're not going to significantly punish the richest owner in the NBA. Like, we all know how this is going to go. The NBA coming out and acting... Whoa, hold on! We're still at... No, you're not. We know how this is going to end. Mark my words.
Yeah.
Call me out if I'm wrong on that, but we know how that's going to end.
And they're going to redo how they distribute the draft lottery again. Yeah. That's what they always do.
Yeah, let's go... Tanking. Look over here. No, Tom Dundon's cheap. Look over this way. And then the other one yesterday, this one is hilarious because it's somebody who's hated...
Now, this is wild, and this isn't going away. This will not be swept under the rug.
And it also might impact your team. Are you ready for this? You can laugh at that all you want.
I know.
So the Lakers just sold to Mark Walter, who was the owner of the Dodgers, the primary owner of the Dodgers.
Right.
A little over a year ago. Oh, my God. $10 billion, whatever the evaluation
was.
$10 billion. 16 months later, he then sells to Iger and Kushner. And then we talked about that last week when it happened.
Right. So the valuation of the franchise, $12.5 billion now.
So he already made a little bit of money. Now, the reason he is selling that, he had the majority percentage of the Lakers.
He's got some tax issues.
He is under legitimate FBI investigation for some very serious wrongdoing.
Tax evasion.
He is now, by the way, added on top of that, he is one of the, I don't know what percentage, I don't follow European football, but he is one of the majority owners, I believe, of Chelsea, and he is selling those stakes as well.
Yeah.
Are you aware, by the way, this is not going to happen? But there is a provision in Shohei Ohtani's contract that if Mark Walter is not the owner of the Dodgers, he can opt out of his contract. It's not going to happen because he's got all that deferred money, and it's just they're about to change the way we can structure contracts and probably not allow the Shohei Ohtani deal anymore.
Probably.
So he's not going to opt out. But that is, funny note that people who hate the Dodgers are bringing up last week. Could be a free agent. Where's he going to go? Yeah, he's not going to leave the Dodgers. He'll
be
all right.
He's not leaving that.
But Mark Walter is in some very serious hot water. Now, does it get all the way to impacting the Dodger ownership? I don't know. Somebody will jump in and buy that thing.
No, he's raising cash because there's probably some sort of...
He needs to be liquid. There's going to be some serious...
He's going to have to make some restitution. He'll avoid jail time.
Dude, go read through... Because rich people avoid jail time.
Yes.
Go read through, though. Like, it's some pretty gnarly stuff, what he's insider trading and access and making deals with companies that he owns that he doesn't... I don't know. It's all a lot of mumbo jumbo, but he's in some very big financial hot water. This is hilarious, though, because they bought... Iger and Kushner reportedly were going to buy the final shares from the Buss family, which is about just shy of 18%.
Yeah, 17.8%.
And everybody ran with this and reported it. The Buss family is out of the Lakers. Oh, my God. Like, they had already sold the majority of it, just because why not? It's
$10
billion.
Somebody check with Jeannie, who's still the governor for the team.
And Jeannie said, not so fast. There is a court order from 2017 that says, you cannot sell my shares without my vote and my approval, so all of this is null and void. You ain't getting out of this. The quote that everybody latched onto that is making people go, like, sometimes we get too conspiratorial in the modern age. The initial Buss family quote when it was announced they were selling their shares before Jeannie responded was, I'm paraphrasing here because I didn't pull it up, but it's essentially like, we need to get out while we can. And everybody's like, what does that mean? The hell does that mean? What? Get out while you can. Do you think you're just pulling a fast one on Jeannie? Is there some underbelly thing that you're concerned about with the future of the NBA?
Like, I get the sense, because we went through this last...
She sued every single one of her siblings multiple times.
Right.
So this is a very contentious family.
Yes.
So maybe that's all it was and people are reaching too much. That's just, to say you're selling 18% of your franchise to get out while you can is making a lot of people go... Especially when you have a franchise that just sold a year ago and just sold again and was flipped in a calendar year. Very, very strange day for the NBA yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm just over here basking in the glory of, hey, it's not us.
Nope.
Although if Tom Dundon wants to flip the team to Phil Knight.
If you could find a way to give me an extra 6 inches, I'm all for it.
There
I'm all for it.
We're all for that.
Make it happen. Flip this thing, Tom. The NBA, never a day without drama. What a ridiculous league. Let's get to, you ready to dance on a grave? Let's dance on a grave. Next on The Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
All right, welcome back, Kim. We'll get to the cafe coming up top of the hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm Dirt. He's Swag. Sprague will be back tomorrow. One more show without him. He returns from vacation tomorrow. Get to a bit of news in a sport that I care deeply about here in a moment. But just wanted to read a couple thoughts. By the way, the mail sack is coming in hot and heavy, dare I say. One of the best 6 a.m. mail sack runs we've ever been on. You guys deserve a round of applause. We will answer those coming up at 9 o'clock.
That's what we like. See, people are getting back. They can tell fall's coming, school's coming.
I can't wait till we start to get my... I love and despise simultaneously for anybody out there, if you are this person. We have a number of teachers who listen to the show.
Yes.
We love our teachers. And they usually send us a text sometime in the back end of June. Guys, thanks for the ride. I'll see you in September.
I'll see you in late August.
Because they're, you're not up, you're not leaving early, you're not getting going to school.
And
I get it, dude.
Look,
you know,
if I had a 2-month summer vacation.
I'm not waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not waking up at 6.
Sure as hell ain't happening.
Early tea time.
Exactly. And I guarantee those are going to start rolling in this week of like, hey, guys, good to be back. I missed it the last couple of months. I just want you to know I love you and despise you at the same time. Because
exactly.
The summer off sounds great. But also, you got to go through a lot as a teacher. And so you deserve the couple of months off. A thought on YouTube. Somebody said the Buss siblings wanted to sell because they could sell at a valuation of $12.5 billion. They know they can't get a better deal than that. If I were them, I would sell at that price as well. I certainly understand the logic, I guess.
That's all fine. Genie just doesn't want to give up control.
But also, how can... hold on. Quick challenge flag.
Yeah.
They just sold a year ago, and it was $10 billion. What did they just sell for? 12.5?
Yeah.
So how is that the best deal that they could get? You could sell your shares of the team at any time.
Yeah.
Do you think that the value of the Los Angeles Lakers is going to come down? Do you think the overall valuation of the franchise will decrease? Have we seen that in professional sports? I know that this is a historic number. We've never seen a team go for that amount. So maybe that's the queasiness
I think they're paying a premium. I don't know that it'll jump significantly.
I'm not saying it's going to go up to $17 billion in 5 years. That's not the argument I'm making. I'm just simply making the argument, the idea that they can't get it. They literally just valued the franchise a little over a year ago at $10 billion, and now it's $12 billion.
The other thing is,
it's not going down.
When things go up to this level, how many groups are there that can come in and
I mean, that's certainly fair, but I think it is.
We're finding out how Dundon got into the Blazers.
It's a lot of people.
$4.5 billion, and
yes,
he had to
cobble it all together.
A lot of smoke and mirrors to make it happen.
Not very easy to do. We're also, it's a little bit different when you're the Los Angeles Lakers. That
I'm sure that's probably mostly a cash deal.
Yeah,
maybe it is. We'll take some payments or whatever.
Take the funding from the NBA or the financing from the NBA that the Blazers had to do. Anyway, I just saw that might be their thought of like, dude, this is $12 billion. How do we say no to this? And that is probably correct. They also hate Jeannie Buss. That's why they want to sell, because she sued them multiple times.
Yeah,
I'm just pushing back on the idea. Like, we don't see sports franchises go down in value. Now, you could say there is a slowdown in the increase of value.
No, plateau, you're not getting much there in the near future.
Dude, if the Lakers sell in 5 years, they're not going to sell for $8 billion. They're not coming down. They're the Los Angeles Lakers.
I would be shocked. Something significant would have to happen.
Also, an interesting side note on this, and then we'll get to dancing on a grave. The ownership turnover that Luka Doncic has gone through is bananas.
That's true.
Because he was in Dallas, Cuban sells, the family comes in, the Adelson family.
Yep.
the Nepo son-in-law trades him away in the middle of the night, doesn't tell anybody. So you went through an ownership change at the end of Dallas. Right. The new owner sends you away. Then he comes to the Lakers. Mark Walter buys the Lakers, right. And now going into his third year or second and a half year, I guess, in Los Angeles, he's now going into a new owner again.
I need some cash.
Anyhoosies, let's get to this. This one's for you and me, Swag.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you saw this report last night. It is not official yet, but it is semi-official. Mm-hmm. Let's say this report is engaged. It's not married.
Okay.
And that report is that the upcoming LIV Golf tournament in Indianapolis, one, will be the last of their season. That is for certain.
The team won in Michigan. Did you
see their post, by the way, as a league? They actually had to acknowledge this. They had Thomas Rhett, who's a pretty big country music name. He was coming to perform in Indianapolis this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
And they basically told him, we can't pay you anymore.
Exactly.
So they had to alert their fans of, like, if you paid to come to the Thomas Rhett concert, there will no longer be a Thomas Rhett concert. There's a ton of vendors who are owed anywhere from $100,000.
Yeah, there's a ton of vendors that haven't been paid.
Not getting any money. The nail in the coffin, though, in the grave to dance on is the fact that the report last night from multiple outlets is that John Rahm has worked out an agreement with the PGA Tour over the last couple of weeks. There was a report that came out. He was playing somewhere in New York with Jimmy Dunn a couple of weeks ago, who's a big name behind the scenes in the PGA Tour. He is going to have to pay a $25 million fine, which will be donated to charity. He's going to have to do a Koepka-esque apology tour that will include denouncing his separation from LIV Golf and the return to traditional golf.
Yep.
He will not be eligible for signature events unless he plays his way into them.
Correct.
He's not eligible for sponsors' exemptions into those events.
Well, those are going away
anyway. 2 years, I think, right? Not next year, but the year after that, if I'm not wrong.
When the two-tier thing starts.
Yes, I think that's 2028.
There will not be sponsors' exemptions for the tier one
events. But anyway, the reason this is noteworthy is that him and Bryson were the only things holding that league up. The league is already crumbling.
Bryson's going to go do his YouTube thing.
Have fun, dude. I'm so tired.
That won't last very long because once he sees everybody back in the, he loves competition.
Yes.
He really does.
I know that people don't like.
He can't fulfill it.
No, it's ridiculous. You can't play the four majors and do YouTube content year round and be an elite golfer. You cannot operate that way. I know that not everybody's super into golf. Some people think we talk too much golf. Some people think we talk too little golf. Maybe that's me. This is noteworthy, though. Like, I've always tried to paint this in other sports. Like, imagine you're a diehard. We're just talking about the NBA. You're a diehard NBA fan. You watch it religiously. You love the sport. The talent is better than it's ever been. And then the PIF fund in Saudi Arabia starts a Saudi Arabia basketball league. And now Steph Curry, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, I don't know, go down the list, whoever else you want to throw in there, right? Like 10 more massive names in the NBA.
Right.
Anthony Edwards are all paid $200 million a year to go play basketball in a league that happens in the middle of the night that you're never going to watch nor care about.
Exactly.
And it waters down the product that you love and enjoy, which is the NBA, because you've watched it your entire life.
Through it in complete turmoil.
Yes. And now it is all coming to an end. And I don't know if anybody's reputation was more wounded in the world of sports. Now, mate, this is probably an aggressive statement. Somebody's going to immediately throw a name at me and be like, you're an idiot, Dirt. That's fine. Like, the John Rahm stuff, he went from being the traditions of the tour, Seve played here.
Yeah.
I want to be against the best. That's not real golf. None of this is, like, all that's stupid. I'm committed. To in the middle of the night showing up on Fox News with a black Letterman's jacket that said "Live Golf" and saying, "I care about team golf and I want to grow the sport."
Care about money like everybody else,
right? And that's he's going to end up being an ultimate winner in this case, financially speaking, because he's not going to see all of that money, but he saw a huge chunk of that money for a couple of years, and then he's coming back to the PGA Tour where the purses are going to go up, and he's going to be able to cash in on that in 2 years, and so he's going to ultimately end up being great financially. From a reputation standpoint, I don't know if he's ever going to recover from it. Diehard golf fans, that is.
Nope.
But without John Rahm, I mean, you were already standing on one toe, not even one leg, and now John Rahm's gone, and so good night, sweet prince. Live golf.
We'll see.
We barely knew you.
And we'll see where the guys go. Will they go to the DP World Tour? Will they come back to the Tier 2? Does Tier 2 knock out the Corn Ferry Tour? I'm very curious.
Yeah, a lot of stuff figured out
how the dominoes are going to fall.
Yeah. The Tara Hatton's reportedly trying to work out the same deal as John Rahm. Everybody's like, you haven't won a major, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I think he might have to go
play on the DP World Tour for a year.
World Tour.
Go play in Europe for a year and earn your way back to the PGA Tour.
What the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, like, I think they need to hold a hard line, but it will also help them if they can get some of these guys that have been on Ryder Cups and President's Cup teams.
It's huge, man, for the sport of golf.
A season or two,
huge,
to go back and have them, you know, be at some of these events, some eyeballs to them.
My enjoyment of golf, I love golf. I love watching golf. I get to this time of year and I'm like, all right, it's football season. They need to rework their end of the year tournaments, and that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
I will admit that there are times watching normal, random, like just run-of-the-mill, fill-in-the-blank tournaments where my enjoyment and excitement as a fan has diminished. I don't know what percentage I would put on that, 5%, 10%, 15%. But you went from having all of the best players in the world playing against each other every single week to having all the best players in the world play against each other four times a year.
Exactly.
And then maybe a Ryder Cup, which is always fun. But it has not been the same the last couple of years. And so I still love the sport. But this is long overdue.
They're going to do some things. I think they're going to redo the season end thing. They're talking about the Tour Championship, moving it around like the U.S. Open.
As they should.
And the PGA Championship. Yeah. And I think that would be great. There's so many wonderful golf courses all over the country and
that you could
different
go play
spots.
At. Yeah. Take it to different cities, grow the game.
And if you wanted to come to the Pacific Northwest or somewhere, if your tournament is at the end of August and you don't want to be down in the South where it's humid as all get
Chambers
out.
Chambers Bay, hello.
That's your opportunity to get it out here somewhere close.
Yeah. Give me another tournament at Chambers Bay. Getting to play that, the greens are much better.
Exactly.
That would be all about it.
That's going to help the chances of having something back here in the Pacific Northwest.
Look, you're not often right, sometimes you miss things in this industry, right? The idea of a league spending hundreds of millions of dollars year in and year out without ever being able to turn a profit because they were never going to turn a profit. It was never going to be bigger than the PGA Tour. It was never going
to
financially
work.
It was
trying to buy its way and force its way into the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll do this. We're going to be so they have to deal with us.
Right. And now the PGA Tour ended up winning this entire thing because remember, there was the reported merger a couple of years ago that never fully happened.
Couldn't happen.
And they are the clear cut winner of this. So Liv Golf's coming to an end. John Rahm reportedly back to the PGA Tour. Let's dance on the grave of Liv Golf and your stupid shorts and your loud music. And nobody cares about team golf unless it's the Ryder Cup. Thank you very much. Lots to get to in hour number two. We will revisit the AP poll. I got some leftovers that it took me a little, a couple hours to digest. The poll came out. I'll give you some of those odds and ends from the AP poll. Also, a couple of random factoids that leave me discouraged about the start of the season, and I will explain that. But we go to the cafe to start the 7 a.m. hour, as we always do next on The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.